Sun's Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is Dan Friedel in for VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. We've got a slam dunk of a show for you today as you wrap up your week. And here at the Sunny Side of Sports, we're glad you've bridged July into August with us. We'll start out with Sonny, who's been in South Africa for the last few days, ahead of Saturday night's 2018 NBA Africa game. Then Samson Omale has a handful of updates, starting off with African soccer news and moving on to the African Senior Athletics Championships in Asaba, Nigeria. He'll pass the baton to Iron Mike Mbonye, who's on the scene of the Athletics Championship. And to wrap up the week, we'll have a story from Jim Stevenson's Game Room podcast. We'll tip things off with Sonny and Luol Deng. Deng is helping with the camp this week and will be playing on Saturday night.
I've seen the growth of it. That scene when it's just the kids and a few coaches. And now seeing it now being covered globally and the attention that it's getting, it's really been amazing. And that's credit to Amadou and the work that he's put in. I think Africa is starting to appreciate him. The world is starting to appreciate him. But later on, we'll realize when Africa gets more players in the NBA like they're doing now, people will realize the work that he's doing and obviously the NBA for backing him up.
Amadou has specifically mentioned you as one of the guiding lights, inspirations for a new generation of African players. Do you see yourself in that?
No, definitely. I think for me, when I came in a league, I've always been bothered by almost every African player was labeled. Most of them were big guys. There was always this sense of label that, you know, African players are raw and just athletic. And I wanted to change that mindset and be a skilled player that can do a lot of different things and for people to realize that African players can be any position. You know, I'm proud of that. I'm just glad I had the opportunity to be a part of this whole thing and to be a part of the NBA for so many years.
Masai Ujiri told me earlier that facilities is one of the main things that need to be improved for the development of African basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts?
No, I definitely agree. I think I'll give you an example. You could talk, you know, the talent is there, so you know that you can produce the players. It's almost like me telling you somewhere in Africa there's, you know, a land full of gold underneath the ground. Well, you're not going to get that gold unless you do the work to drill it and get it. And that's the example of African players. The talent is there over the all over the continent. It's just about putting in, you know, circumstances and situation where kids can actually be at their best, where they can be trained well. So it also about coaching, teaching the coaches how to coach these players. But infrastructure is very important. The little things that, you know, we get up every day and not think about, most of the kids here and the kids all over the continent struggle with, just the little things, you know, just even if it's as small as the right shoes to play in and just traveling to get to a court nearby, which taking hours. And it's just, you know, there's a lot of things.
This will be the third time the NBA Africa game has been staged in South Africa. Would you like to see it maybe hosted by another African country
Yes.
in the years to come?
Yes, and I'm glad you asked that, and I've been saying that. I think the meaning of the game is to grow it all over the continent. South Africa has been a great host and great example for the rest of the continent to follow. And I think the NBA is going to work on that. I know Amadou wants it. The players want it. But it's been amazing here to be a part of this every year. But there's a lot of countries in Africa that are capable of hosting this, and they want to, and the work can be done. And the more we expand it all over the continent, the more it's going to grow basketball, the love for the game, but also the kids, the dream and the hope will become reality, not just in one country.
I know you do a lot of humanitarian work in Africa. What about South Sudan? Any trips planned there?
Yeah, right after this, I'm going to South Sudan. I'm going to Kenya, then I'm going to South Sudan.
What type of work will you be doing there?
So in South Sudan, it's crazy, the list that I could go on, but I try to be brief. I'll start with, I have a basketball court with 12 hoops that I dedicated to Manute Ball in Juba. And in that basketball court, we have over 600 kids. And what we do is we mentor the kids. We create jobs for the kids. We give them school needs, whether it's books, pen, paper, bags. We monitor, we have a girls program that we just started to empower women there also, and the girls. And then I sponsor a group of doctors, and they've been doing it for 3 years, where they go back for a month to perform surgeries. And for over 3 years, they performed over 300 plus surgeries. And then I also opened up a school in Awil, a primary school that has 830 kids that I'm going to go and visit also. And then with that being said, we worked with a group, an organization called Matter, where we provided food for over 11,200 and something people, where we fed them for 2 weeks. Yeah, so it's over 2,000 and something families that we were able to feed for over 2 weeks. So I do a lot of things. I've done a lot of things in the past, and it's always been my passion. And it's not just in South Sudan. I also, with a friend of mine, I helped my friend who opened up a school in Ghana. We were there in Ghana earlier this year. We did that. So to me, it's just all over the continent.
So you really do have that sort of giving back quality.
Yes, yes, I love to.
Is that unique to African players?
I don't think so. I think, obviously, it depends how you grew up and who you are. Right, but I think giving back is part of our culture, where you grew up in a house where you had to share everything as a young kid. And living that type of life, you grow up and you realize how lucky and how blessed you were, because at the end of the day, you're not the most talented. You could call it blessed, the luckiest, however how things fell. Because for me to be here or have the opportunity to even be in the NBA, a lot of things had to go right.
Finally, Lou, what are your goals on an individual basis for the upcoming NBA season?
I think for me, it's about playing. I always work hard in the game, and I put in a lot of work. I think it's a lot being said over the last year of me not playing, and I just want people to understand, I never, ever said I didn't want to play. This is a decision that came from the organization, and at the end of the day, people are looking at what my contract was and how much I'm making. And for me, I've never played because of the money I'm making or because of the money I'm not making. I've always worked hard and played. The organization came up to me last year and said they wanted to play the young guys, and that's the move they wanted to make. And being a professional, I gave them what they wanted. But for me, it's always been about playing. I know I could play in this league, whether I made the money or not. It has nothing to do with my desire to play. So for me, if the respect is not there and the belief is not there, then I don't want to be there. If that's the direction it is, because for me, I always played for people that believe in me and I've always produced. But for an organization that wants to go a different direction, then okay. But now I understand, there's different players and different mindset and everything. But that's something that needs to come from the organization, not me. I've never said I didn't want to play.
Luol Deng, member of Team Africa for the upcoming NBA Africa Game 2018. Thanks for talking with us on The Voice of America.
All right, thank you very much. It's always good to talk to you.
That's our Sonny Young talking with Luol Deng ahead of Saturday's NBA Africa Game. It'll be interesting to see if the 32-year-old Deng can contribute to an NBA team this year after sitting on the bench most of last season for the Los Angeles Lakers. Speaking of Los Angeles, Sonny was also able to catch up with one of the Lakers' all-time greats, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who told Sonny about his admiration for Nelson Mandela.
I've been a couple of times. First time was 1971. I did a State Department tour. And I've come back once or twice since then.
In the opening remarks, they referred to Nelson Mandela several times. What are your feelings about Mr. Mandela?
Well, I thought Mr. Mandela was an incredibly charismatic figure, especially for Black Americans who, you know, were observing the struggle here in South Africa. I mean, he really set an incredible example of courage and perseverance. And, you know, in that sense, he was really a giant. And, you know, he used to box. The fact that he gave up his favorite sport to become a lawyer so he could fight apartheid, I think really explains his stature here in South Africa. He devoted his whole life to freeing this nation from a very oppressive regime.
I remember in the 60s, you were very active in the civil rights movement in the United States. Martin Luther King Jr., can you compare their legacies of service, Mr. Mandela and Martin Luther King Jr.?
Well, I think, you know, when you talk about examples of people devoting their lives to their communities, Martin Luther King and Nelson Mandela, you know, they just jump right out at you. You know, they could have had other lives, but they sacrificed for their people and for the cause of freedom, justice, and equality. And I think, you know, you can't say enough about them.
In terms of legacy, Kareem, you're coming all the way to Johannesburg for a basketball development. What does that mean for your legacy to come here to Johannesburg?
Well, you know, I've tried to help the NBA in their outreach efforts. You know, I was involved in the very first Basketball Without Borders efforts. And, you know, I think it's a great thing. It's really grown, and I think it's achieved a lot.
That's our Sonny Young stretching his 6'3" frame to catch up with the 7-footer Kareem Abdul-Jabbar at the Basketball Without Borders events ahead of Saturday's NBA Africa game in Pretoria. I'm Dan Friedel, filling in for Sonny this week and next week. You're listening to the Sonny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Next, Samson Omale has this report on African soccer news and the senior athletic championships going on in Nigeria.
Good Friday morning to you. We begin with the appointment of former international Jamil Balmadi as the new national coach for Algeria. The former Manchester City midfielder will travel to Algeria to sign a contract replacing Rabah Majer, who resigned in June. Jamil Balmadi played for Algeria between 2000 and 2004, including a quarterfinal place at the 2004 African Nations Cup finals. Elsewhere in Egypt, the Egyptian Football Association announced on Thursday the appointment of Mexican Javier Aguirre as the head coach of the national team on a four-year deal. Aguirre replaces Argentinian Hector Cooper after his contract expired following the 2018 World Cup, where Egypt lost all three of their matches to crash out in the group stage. In the meantime, former Arsenal and Barcelona forward Thierry Henry has denied holding talks with any national association or football club over becoming their next manager. The 40-year-old has been recently linked with the Egypt job after former Al Ahly and Zamalek goalkeeper Nadir Al-Said claimed negotiating with his agent over the vacant Egypt national team job. In athletics news, South Africa's Commonwealth Games champion Akane Simbine won the men's 100 meters with Marie Jose Taulou of Ivory Coast the women's winner at the African Championship on Thursday. Kenyan World and Commonwealth Games champion Helen Obiri also claimed African gold, winning the women's 5,000 meters. Simbine won his race into a headwind in 10.25 seconds. Winners at the championship earn a place on the African team in the Continental Cup, which matches teams from Africa, Asia, Europe, Oceania, the Americas, South America, and the United States from September the 8th to the 9th in Ostrava, Czech Republic. However, transportation problems has left several hundred outlets stranded at Lagos Airport, some for nearly 3 days, forcing a major revision of the competition timetable on Wednesday, with officials apologizing on Thursday for the shortcomings. Solomon Oba is the chairman of the local organizing committee.
Learning from what has happened in the arrival, we have given all the countries a deadline to submit their departure by today, so that arrangement will be concluded in all the athletes and officials going back smoothly and connecting their flights. I do not envisage any problem in their returning, except if they don't give us their departure information.
Staying with the African Athletics Championship, Tanzanian athletes pulled out of the biannual African Athletics Championship in Nigeria on Thursday, citing poor organization and security concerns at the venue. Tanzania was expected to send 5 athletes to the championship in Asaba, but officials said they were dissatisfied with the travel arrangements to the event as well as the threat from extremist groups in the region. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thank you, Samson. I'm Dan Friedel, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Continuing our coverage of the track and field event, Iron Mike Ambonye heard from Sebastian Coe, who spoke at the opening of the athletics championships.
Sebastian Coe is the president of the International Association of Athletics Federation, IAAF. He says the IAAF has mapped out strategies to support Africa develop and groom talents in athletics.
Well, I spoke to the African Council meeting before these championships just a couple of days ago, and a large part of that discussion focused on development, our development strategies and our development programs. So the first objective is to make sure that we are able to support the development programs in Africa so that they really do have an impact on the athletes, that the funding that is available is spent in the right areas, in the right centres, and with the right coaching structures.
Coe, who spoke at a media briefing at the African Senior Athletics Championship, said the support will also get to the educational departments in Africa. He says IAAF wants to make athletics to be part of the life of young Africans, and urged political leaders in the continent to fund athletics. Coe also said that the International Governing Body of Athletics has encouraged Africa to stage big events.
What have we done to encourage the belief that Africa can stage big events? I think you've only got to look at what I've actually achieved since becoming president. In the first 6 months, Rabat became a Diamond League meeting, the first Diamond League meeting in Africa. Then shortly after that, we agreed to take the World Cross-Country Championships to Uganda. That was a very, very successful World Championships. My first World Championships in Africa was in 2007 at the World Cross-Country Championships in Mombasa in Kenya, which in itself was an extraordinary event.
Coe says there are plans to stage the World Senior Athletics Championship in Africa in future. Mr. Ahmed Kalkaba, the president of Confederation of African Athletics, CAA, says the continental body will work with the international governing body to ensure that the World Senior Athletics Championship is held in Africa. More than 1,000 athletes from 52 countries are taking part in the African Senior Athletics Championship. This is Mike Mbonye for VOA News in Asaba, Nigeria.
That's Mike Mbonye with IAAF President Sebastian Coe on an increased effort to get major athletic events to Africa in coming years. Mike also talked with Emmanuel Aguariwodo, a former member of the Nigerian National Assembly, who says the championship exposure this week can help Nigeria long term.
This event is wonderful. We Africans, for some of the events that have taken place so far, right from the eve till now, we are celebrating the creme de la creme in Africa. The event that took place, the Hall of Fame, those that were inducted to the Hall of Fame, they truly deserve to be people that should be celebrated across the length and breadth of Africa, because they are known all over the world and we contributed to athletics all over the world, and we are proud of them. And the championship took started yesterday, and it's been wonderful. You saw the race by the Ethiopians. They looked like they came for war. It was war. They caged the Kenyans, and only the Ugandan was able to get near them. This is great. This is what we're talking about.
What's your take on Nigeria's participation in the game? Do we have chances? Can we make it?
Yes, we can make it. I believe that knowing our strengths, particularly in the area of the short distance races, the sprints, the 100 meters, the 200 meters, watch out for Nigeria.
And then as a Delta citizen and somebody who has been into sports before, what message do you have for other African countries, brothers and sisters who are here?
Well, sports is all in all. We are beginning to access the riches of sports, riches to the young men and women, riches to the individual, riches to the states, and riches to the country. Because sports and entertainment in many other climes, in many other countries of the world, contribute almost over 30% of their GDP. And that's what we are beginning to access now. So, I mean, this is great. This is just the beginning.
That's Iron Mike Mbonye from Asaba, Nigeria, where the Senior Athletics Championships are going on through the weekend. Jim Stevenson's The Game Room podcast has a story about how one day technology might make you feel as if you were watching the World Cup final in person without having to pay for airplane tickets.
I'm Jim Stevenson. Welcome to The Game Room. Football fans watched the recent World Cup on multiple television screens in bars, on their phones, perhaps while they should be working, and on TVs at home with their friends and family. One day, all of us could be following the action in 3D. Researchers in the computer department at the University of Washington are developing a way to watch soccer games and other sporting matches as if you were actually in the stadium by using augmented reality devices. A Microsoft HoloLens virtual reality headset gives researcher Konstantinos Romatos the unique experience of watching a soccer video game in a more realistic way, in 3D on a conference table. Romatos says to convert YouTube highlights of actual games played around the globe into 3D, his team started with FIFA video games, which can be played and viewed from almost any angle.
We first detect where are the players, we find their pose, we segment it from the foreground and background, and then we also, for each player, we estimate their depth. And the depth you can think of it as a 3D shape representation of the player, and then we visualize it in the augmented reality device.
There are still challenges to overcome to improve the presentation of the ball and the tendency of the players to disappear, especially when they come in contact with one another. Ira Kemmelmacher-Schlitzerman is co-director of the University of Washington Reality Lab.
Some bigger things going forward is to... How do you create a long game, right? So we just showed a little bit of, like, a little snippets from the game. Can you create a long, like, 2-hour long game, right? An hour and a half. How do you do it for other sports? Our algorithm is very focused on soccer, but can you do it for basketball? Can you do it for baseball? You know, all the tennis and so on.
And sports are just the start. In the near future, the team says their 3D technology could expand into other fields, such as music and entertainment. The Game Room opens with new stories each week, or play anytime on voanews.com.
And that wraps up the August 3rd edition of The Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to VOA producer Kwame Afori. Thanks also to VOA engineer Patrick Dea. Thanks for Sunny's work in South Africa. And thank you for tuning in. I'm Dan Friedel in for VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. And that's The Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
As Sierra Leone recovers from the Ebola epidemic of 2014 to 2016, the most widespread outbreak of the disease in history, the country's Ministry of Health and Sanitation is helping families to find the graves of those who perished. With support from the United States government through the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, or CDC, the ministry and its partners have launched the Sierra Leone Ebola Database Family Reunification Program. The SLED program, as it is known, is based on information recorded during the epidemic by thousands of Sierra Leonean surveillance officers, burial team members, laboratory technicians, and data managers. The SLED team of Sierra Leonean and CDC data managers was able to organize and collect more than 500,000 alerts, burial, and other patient records, creating the most complete collection of data from the Ebola epidemic. The primary objectives of SLED are not only to locate the graves of those who died during the epidemic, but also to create a resource for public health research by providing secure data access via the CDC Research Data Center. With CDC support, we are proud to have the most comprehensive imaging of all efforts around the Ebola epidemic in Sierra Leone, said Dr. Amara Jambai, Deputy Chief Medical Officer at the Ministry of Health and Sanitation. Dr. Tushar Singh, U.S. CDC country director, said that U.S. government support for the SLED project helps to advance relationship with the government of Sierra Leone and to create a resource for research capacity building and future epidemic prevention. In the 1970s, the CDC first began working in Sierra Leone researching Lassa fever. In 2008, the agency expanded its reach with the U.S. President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, building laboratory and surveillance capacity. As part of the 2014 to 2016 Ebola response, more than 700 CDC staff served on over 1,000 deployments. It was CDC's largest outbreak response ever in a single country. In 2015, a permanent CDC country office was established in Sierra Leone to focus on global health security efforts. The United States is proud to work with public and private sector partners in Sierra Leone to protect the people of Sierra Leone as they recover from the ravages of the deadly Ebola epidemic.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Border Crossings knows you want the hottest music. And we're here to give it to you.
Give me something nice and shiny.
Join host Larry London at 1500 Universal every weekday in August for your chance to win a copy of the new Now That's What I Call Music, Volume 67 CD.
Music to my ears.
Featuring the biggest hits from Maroon 5. Girls like you run around with guys like me till sundown when I come through. I need a girl like you. Selena Gomez.
Yeah, I know I'd go back to you.
Post Malone, Cardi B, and more. This is your all-access pass to the biggest songs of the summer.
Hey, 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 special delivery.
Don't miss out on your chance to snag a free copy of Now 67, with different ways to win every weekday in August.
I'm the girl who's going to win the special prize at the end.
Well, you do seem confident, and confidence is key.
Only on Border Crossings.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music.
Wake up, dance this music.
Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
This is